Are you maximizing your content's potential with the proper website setup, or are you making these killer mistakes that are keeping you from being the industry thought leader that you deserve to be? Find out right here, right now. It's On Air Brands.
You're now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brand Show. I am Todd Genetasio, along with my co-host, Amber Furman. Amber, what's going on today?
What's going on, man? How are you?
You know, I like the headphones. Normally, I have AirPods on all the time, but when we do shows, I have these like over-the-head deals, and like I really need a haircut right now, but it doesn't look it looks like well-contained when you got this whole head thing going on.
Maybe so. You should just wear them everywhere, and then you can save money on haircuts.
Yeah, there we go.
That could be the plan.
Yeah.
So new tagline, who needs a barber when you have headphones?
Yeah, that's that, you know, the beat, you know, get a nice pair of Beats for like $70,000 that just cover your whole head and you're good to go.
Yeah. And then save $10 on a haircut.
Right. Yeah.
Seems logical to me.
So accountability test, because today we were talking about websites for content creators in business. Do we have a subscribe box? Oh, there she goes. For our listeners, Amber just ducked out of the screen. So we got, you know, we got to get, we're going to have to hit up Zach Knight. Everybody, you know, tag Zach Knight and say, where's the subscribe box on
morethancorporate.com? Well, here's the problem. If you tag Zach Knight and say, where's the subscribe button for the podcast? He's going to say, I don't know. Ask Amber where this stuff is I asked her for so that I could do the subscribe button. So please don't do that.
All right. Well, enough of throwing Amber under the bus. But the last few episodes, we've been talking about a lot of great stuff. Last week, we talked about how to become an SEO master is the great title that Rob came up with there. And we talked about how to really plan and structure your content so that people will find it when they're searching online and you're not just getting lost in the mix, right? Like quick live example we did was, you know, one of the titles that we looked at had essentially zero potential for people to find it based on how many people were searching for those words. But then we just spent 2 minutes doing some keyword research and we found another equally as good title that had potentially 2,500 visitors a month. And so quickly understanding the planning and structuring of your content so that people can find it is super important. And that's going to play a big role in today's conversation about having your website set up properly. And before that, we talked about, you know, really how to build up your audience using Facebook ads. And again, that comes back to having a solid website for your show, right? Whether you are publishing your show, you know, we live stream it on YouTube and Facebook, and we're on, you know, Apple and Spotify and everywhere else, right? Like we're distributing the show content all over the place. So then why is it that, you know, you need to have a website for that? It's because you need a home base to be able to send people back to, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. And for us, our audience, we're talking to businesses who are creating great content. We're not talking to the people who just want to be a YouTuber influencer, right? Like it's about building up your business and using show content to do so. And that's where having a website as a home base is essential for your business growth.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And then also on the other side of it, when you're trying to appeal to guests that may be at the top of your industry, it just looks more professional to have your website where you have show notes on a page. You're able to set yourself apart from that person that just sets up, records, and posts to YouTube or posts to iTunes. And not that there's anything wrong with that. Unfortunately, appearances are everything when you're reaching out to a high level guest,
for sure.
And they're going to see that, you know, you actually put the effort and create this website.
Yeah, totally. That's a great point. Yeah. Just the credibility standpoint for potential guests and also to have a better catalog of your content, right? Like we talked about last week with the SEO stuff, and it's just, you know, being able to easily reference back and link to stuff that's got your brand on it, right? Like when you send someone a link to a YouTube video or an Apple podcast, right? And this is the other thing is like, what's the preference of the person that you're sending the content to? If you have it on your website, you can easily have those buttons over to wherever they want to listen to it or have it embedded right on your site so they can listen and watch there. So I think that's another great thing too, is to give your audience the option for where they want to consume your content.
Yeah. And I think this is something we haven't really talked about and probably won't dive too deep into, but we talk so much about using your podcast to drive revenue to your business. However, mm-hmm. if you do it right, your podcast can be its own income stream. Mm-hmm. So having your website allows you to be more appealing to sponsors that may want to sponsor your podcast and do things to that effect. So
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, you know, the first thing, on our list of why is really piggybacking off of last week's episode, which was episode 30. And it's about the search engine optimization. And so if you publish your content just on Apple and someone's searching Google for that topic, they're very unlikely to find your podcast episode if it's just on Apple or Spotify, right? Or if you're publishing stuff on YouTube, yeah, that YouTube video's got a good chance to show up. And people also use YouTube itself as a search engine. But what if your YouTube video shows up and your website? Now you're taking up more spots. You get more chances to get people's attention in those search engine results when they're searching for Google, right? Searching on Google. And yeah, it's great that like your YouTube description has a bunch of text that might be relevant so that you can make it optimized, but there's not the formatting and rich media that you get when you publish your episodes inside a blog post on your own website, right? So it's about having all the structure and stuff like we talked about in last week's episode so that you can properly format these pages through blog posts and have the embedded media. And like, this is a huge thing. Like we talked about last week, if you're producing great content, you're doing the hard work already, right? Like the rest of the stuff is kind of just like follow instructions or outsource someone to follow instructions or who has the instructions already on how to make things really well formatted. But like, when it comes to search engine optimization, and I don't think we touched on this last week, if Google's comparing two different articles and they're essentially identical in grade, right? Like, okay, these are two A+ papers. So which one am I going to rank more? And one of them has no media on it, right? Like it's just text and, or just text and images versus yours, which has the audio embed from Apple and then has a YouTube embedded inside it. And then if you're pulling out clips from social, you can put little clips in the different sections, whatever. But like even just simply putting embedding your full show. Well, if I have two things that are equal in grade, but one of them has an audio embed and a video embed, like obviously you're offering more options for your visitors to consume that content. And that's going to be better than the alternative, which is just text and image.
Yeah. And also from a mindset perspective, like this is something that we see so much, which is I could either do this or I could do this, right? Why do you have to choose? Right. Do the stuff on your YouTube channel, mm-hmm. put the links in there, create mm-hmm. that type of optimization there. And then you're just embedding that into your website. There's no reason not to do both,
right?
Because you're just getting that exposure. So it's not exactly. like, hey, post this raw video to YouTube and then embed it. Like you're optimizing the YouTube video and optimizing your website. It's a no-brainer.
Right. Yeah. And you know, for us, obviously we've been doing it a long time, but like this is the kind of thing that really it takes us like 15 to 20 minutes to do. So like if you want to learn how to do it yourself, like you can get to a point where it's going to take you only an additional half hour, or you outsource it to somebody who knows how to do it. But like you do the hard work of creating the content in the YouTube video and in the audio episode. And then you say, hey, you send that YouTube video to your team and you say, hey, here's the episode. It's good to go. Put this on the blog. And then they have their checklist of, okay, now they add it to the blog and they know how to add proper show notes and sub headlines and stuff like that. And now you have that fully optimized thing. So you're doing the hard work already. Like, why not take that just extra relatively small step to make sure that it's all optimized and put in a place that now when someone searches and finds you, or when you're sharing out, like when you're emailing your list, your link to the new episode, you send them to a place, or your listeners are like, oh, I want to share this. Like something that's super annoying for my friends who have Android phones is like, if I want to share a podcast episode with them, I don't even know what to send it in. I'm like, you know, I got to ask them what they listen to. Or when I can just say, hey, here's a link to the episode, and it's a webpage, and on the webpage is listen, you know, you could just hit play right there, or listen in Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, like wherever they want, like they get to choose. Right. So that makes it easier and more shareable for your audience. And it makes the people receiving it from your audience, you know, more likely to actually listen and subscribe. And now as your content starts spreading, rather than people just getting a link to an Apple thing that they may listen to that episode, maybe they follow or not, or the YouTube video, which they watch, but they're probably not going to hit the subscribe button. Like, but now they're on your website, which gives you a couple different things. Number one, you can offer them, you know, a super valuable lead magnet to get their email address, right? Because they're on your branded property. So whether you have that in a pop-up or a sidebar, whatever, like you have that opportunity there. They're seeing your brand, your brand colors and style and all that stuff all around. So just getting that familiarity. And you're also, you know, pixeling them, which, you know, there's a whole iOS update discussion that could go by around this. But just for simplicity's sake, like once someone visits your website, typically you are able to then advertise to them through Google and Facebook and other platforms. So it's like, hey, everybody who's been to my website in the last 30 days, I want to show them this new, the post about our new episode. And now you can, you know, it becomes a positive cycle of growing the amount of people who see your content.
Yeah. So a couple of things that just popped in my head. I think that there's a third option, which is when we see something that we really like, or we hear something that we really like, I don't know about anybody else, but I want to go on a deep dive and I want to learn like everything that I can about this person that just said this stuff. So yeah. If you're sending them an Apple link or an iTunes link or a Spotify link or whatever, the only thing that they have without doing a Google and trying to figure out who you are, and God forbid your name's like John Smith and they can't find you, then all they have are your past episodes to go through. But if you send them to a website, you can have links for some of the services that you offer. You can have a blog, like you can have your bio. There's a way for them to deep dive, to learn more about you. If you said something that really impacted them in a way that they can't get in just a streaming platform. Before we move on and talk about anything else, though, I want to hit on this embed idea for that person who's out there who is like I used to be, who thought that embedding a YouTube link or embedding a YouTube video meant copying the link and putting it on my blog post. Can you explain the difference for them?
Actually, I don't know how long ago you did that, but if for people who use WordPress, that's all you have to do now, right? So embedding the video from a viewer standpoint, if someone goes to your blog, goes to your website, they open the page and the video is sitting right there on your own website, right? And they can hit play and watch it. Same thing, audio, the audio is embedded there. If you have WordPress, you actually only now, all you have to do is copy and paste the YouTube link and WordPress will automatically create the, take the video and put the video itself. It used to be different and depending on what your website's built with, I know yours is WordPress, so you should be fine with that now. But the, you know, for our listeners, if you're not using WordPress, check out whatever your platform does. If you have to actually get an embed code off of YouTube, which is also still super easy, you hit the share button and it gives you an option. You just highlight the text, copy and paste it anyway. But in WordPress, yeah, now all you do is have to paste in the link to a YouTube video and it will automatically actually pull in the video itself.
Amazing. That's good to know.
Yeah. So that was a good smart update that they did a little while ago. But yeah, so, you know, you talked about like taking the deep dive and stuff. So like, let's share for our audience when you are setting up your website, like what does a, and we're talking about like best practice, good stuff. So like minimum website, like, yeah, you just want to have like a homepage that has a list of all your episodes or a one page that links off to whatever. Like, that's fine. That's not what we're talking. We're talking about like best practices, properly set up website. You can have a couple different sections. And again, like we're talking to the people who are building their show for their business, right? So from a business perspective, yes, you need to have like what you just said, all that kind of brochure info, I like to call it, like your about page, your, you know, your mission statement, a list of your products and services, depending on your sales process. Sometimes, you know, that's not the proper way to do it, but generally speaking, we'll have a list of products and services, background information, your contact page obviously is very important. So you want to have all that kind of like basic brochure information. So someone finds your show, they're listening, they like it, and they're like, oh, let me kind of poke around here and just like learn more about this person. So you want to have that basic stuff up there, number one. Number two, and actually I put this number one priority, is having a show hub. And this is something that we developed actually for the On Air Brand Show first. And now we've started building it out for all of our other clients who are publishing a lot of content. If you go to onairbrands.com/show, you can check out our show hub. And this is where we like to really highlight all the different aspects of a show. So we have, yes, there's a sign up for email notifications when there's new episodes. So just a simple email subscribe form. We have subscribe on your favorite channel. So then you link off over to YouTube, Facebook, Apple, Spotify, blah, 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 blah. You can list all those places so people can go, right? And then you say, here's our recent episodes. And you put, you know, the most recent 3, 4, 5 episodes there. And then with a button that says, you know, see all episodes, they click that. It'll take them to just a long list of everything published there. And then that's where you can have like a show relevant lead magnet. So if you are, you know, a particular type of business and you have one main lead magnet that you constantly refer back to, you know, then it's easy to say, go back to our, you know, website.com/show and you can sign up for our lead magnet, right? So all of that stuff is there on our show hub. And that's a key thing that if you're publishing content, I think you need to have on your website. And plus, as you become more well-known because of your show and because of your content, when people go to your just main.com homepage, they're probably going to be interested in finding your show, right? So like when I go to morethancorporate.com, I'm probably going there because I want to go right to the podcast list and check stuff out, right? So you want to make it easily accessible right in your main menu for people to go right to your show page, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And
Bless you.
Oh, excuse me. Where's time for that? So the other thing too is if you're thinking, man, I don't even know what to put for relevant resources. I don't know how to build these out. You can go back to the episode where we talked about building out kind of the toolboxes, like your top five episodes in each different content. Yep. And this would be a great place for those to be able to put those five episodes based upon what you're interested in as your show's grown. So
episode 26 will help you with that.
Yeah, Rolodex Todd, that's going to be your name.
That's right. So this is the key for anybody who's got a show. If you're doing a show, having two monitors and on the second monitor, I have our episode list. And although I happen to have the Apple up, but this is also where you can use your own show hub way easier. Now, if I did have to search for an episode, I would definitely do that on our website. I wouldn't be doing it in Apple because I can't really search through Apple for like just our show's episodes on email marketing, right? Like if I search Apple for email marketing, now it's going to take people all over the place. But if you send them to your show and they want to find the episodes about email marketing, you can have a search box there. Make it super easy for them to find your episodes about that kind of stuff, right? So
yeah. And on that note, really quickly, you know, I think that you just hit on something that's really, really important. And that is that we as humans are so easily distracted. So if you say something that really hits home with somebody and they want to find more information on it, and you don't have a place for them to connect with you or learn more about you, and you send them to Google to find more information about this, you've just lost that.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're done because there's so many different places to get information. So, you know, kind of creating this time warp of a place they want to be, like this, like
you want to give them the rabbit hole, that, you know, you want to control the rabbit maze
that nobody can get out of. Right. But that corn maze is full of valuable content that nobody wants out of instead of like serial killers that are chasing you.
Yes. Happy Amber, Halloween. Amber. Yeah, I was going to say Amber's clearly in Halloween mood watching horror movies regularly. but yeah, so and again, I think having a search box, if you have WordPress, it's super easy to have a search box on your site. If you have something else, like ask your website manager, designer person. So we talked about your brochure info, your show hub, and then you want to have like the content section, right? So like typically if you're publishing content that's articles and episodes, then there's going to be a blended mix of different types of posts on your main feed. But you want to have a content section that does just have a list of all the episodes so people could scroll all the way back, right? Like on the show hub, we have our recent episodes, 3, 4, 5, whatever, depending on your layout. But you want to give them that all episodes button that takes them to a page that has, you know, even if it's just 10 per page, but then you click next, et cetera. So you want to have that content section easy for people to scroll through to go back and look for different episodes. And then we want to have our funnels, right? Like this is like hot buzzword for people in the ClickFunnels community, but like funnels are basically like how we capture leads and move them through a marketing and sales process. So, you know, if you're sending people to your YouTube video or Apple, or wherever you're streaming, right? There's not going to be those clear next steps as well as easy to access. Like, yes, you could put them in the descriptions, but like to send someone to the actual episode page and then have clear calls to action that send them to the next step, right? So you can either have an easy capture form like on those pages, right? Where it just says like, want the free guide to XYZ, enter your email address below. Or if it's something that you have to quote unquote sell a little bit more and it needs its own page, then that's where you can have like, you know, you want to learn XYZ, click here. And then that takes them to the landing page with more info on your lead magnet or low ticket product. Or once they do that, then, you know, they sign up and then they go through the whole sales funnel. There's an upsell, blah, blah, blah. However you manage that. But putting them top of the funnel content consumption on your own website gives you the opportunity to then move them through that as opposed to if they're just on YouTube, then their next suggested video sends them off to somewhere else. You know, if they're listening to Apple on, in, you know, in the car during their workout, you know, they're not going through these steps. But if they're able to easily get back to the episode on your website, then you can much more clearly and intentionally guide them through that customer journey process.
Yeah. And if you are thinking that you need some guidance in that area, Todd actually has a really amazing training on creating your first funnel and being able to figure out who your audience is and what they need to hear. And I wish I could tell you where that's at, but I'm sure that Todd knows because I don't know the website off the top.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up to make sure, but it's thegrowthsuite.com/MLF workshop.
And it's amazing, guys.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Thank you very much. And I did, just for the record, I made Amber pay for it because I said, she did get a discount, but I said, because if you don't pay, then you're not going to pay attention. So I did make her fork over a couple of bucks, which I then turned around and donated, you know, so got to keep the energy flowing through the universe. That's how I look at it.
Right? Look at that.
Yeah. So when it comes to the show pages, just to give like a quick checklist of, you have your show hub, you have your content list. Now someone goes to the actual episode page. We can have very easy, top of the funnel, simple, like quote unquote lead magnet, which could just be simply subscribe to the, enter your email address to get on the list for the show. Right. So you have call to action number one. One of my former coaches, Dan Martell, he's got great content at danmartell2ls.com, and his sidebar, I like how he has it set up, is like the top one, he has a call to action to something that's like a simple PDF type of thing. And then the next one is like a free training, and that's like a 60-minute video class. And then the third one is book a call, right? So I like, for us, for show creators, I think we can do something simple too, where your simple, easy call to action is like, hey, subscribe to the show, enter your email address to get notified when new episodes come out every week. And you have that. Then number two can be whatever lead magnet you have. But what we described is, if you don't want to have to go through the whole lead magnet creation process, if you just pull five relevant episodes, you can just put them into a guide for people, right? So you could say, if you want to master the building your brand, enter your email address and sign up here. And then what they're going to get is a curated list of like, here's our top four episodes. Episode number one, how to use Facebook ads. Episode number two on SEO. Episode number three on planning your episode strategy. And episode four, how to do email marketing for your show. And you didn't actually have to create anything new. You just curate episodes that you put together in the past and you put them all into one resource for someone. So the easy lead magnet number one, subscribe to the show. Easy lead magnet number two, a curated list of relevant episodes that you have that you could just give to people all in one kind of PDF or even in an email with links to the episodes. And then number three, let's get to your business, right? Like, what's your business about, and how do you help people put that book a call thing and have them fill out a contact form, right? So those are three easy things to put down your sidebar.
Three easy things. And I never thought that I would have to say this. And unfortunately, something happened to me yesterday that makes it to where I feel like I need to say this. So never say never. Make sure when you're naming your lead magnet in a document that you're going to send out to other people, you do not name it lead magnet. Like, please do not send a PDF to somebody that's titled lead magnet.
Just
please don't.
Yeah. Or like accidentally having your auto email says like new lead and their name.
Go to them. And it was so crazy because you could tell that this was a VA or an executive assistant, because the lead magnet and then the underscore and the client that she worked for wasn't even her name, the person that was reaching out to me. And I'm like, oh dear Lord, man. I have so all the things I never thought that I would need to say because I thought they were common sense. Please don't name your lead magnet.
Yeah.
And then always try to say it three times fast, because apparently I can't.
Yeah. Always name things descriptively and no matter what. We actually talked about that. I think it was episode number 27 about keeping your podcast organized. That goes across the board. Naming conventions and stuff like that makes it easy for people to find all your stuff, makes it easy for you to find stuff. That all ties back into how you're kind of properly setting your website up for your show. So let's just recap real quick. We talked about like the benefits of making sure your website is properly set up for your show, and you're not just putting your stuff on the publishing channels like YouTube and Apple, but it really helps improve your search engine optimization, which means more people will find you on Google, especially if you pair it with last episode number 30 about SEO for your show. Number two, it will help you build up your email list because you'll have your calls to action all around your content. It makes it, this also helps you, helps your audience more easily share your content with other people, giving them options to consume it on the channels that they want. Number three, for the meantime anyway, is being able to pixel and then retarget people with Facebook and Google ads after they visit your website. And also just the credibility of your brand by having a legitimate home base, whether that's for attracting sponsors or potential guests. Like, if you don't have a nice looking website that's well organized and properly set up, then how are you going to expect high level guests to want to come on your show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And for all of you who are listening, who are at the beginning of your podcasting journey, and you're thinking, oh, this is great, but I mean, I'm just not going to be doing it right now. I can tell you from experience, like, set it up anyways, as if you're going to be doing it, because going back and trying to fix it later is such a pain in the butt. Not that I know anything about that. So even if you're not thinking about marketing, even if your show is just a passion project right now, the way that mine started out, eventually, if you're passionate about what you're talking about, and people connect with it, it's going to turn into something else, whether that's a business or whether it's a nonprofit or whatever it is, and you're going to want to grow. So just start early now and just set up the foundation.
Yeah, it's much easier to do it, to get on the right path from the beginning than have to fix it up later. So that right path is, yes, you want some simple brochure info, you know, your about page, contact page, list of your services and or products, that kind of stuff. You want to have your show hub, which gives people an email subscribe box. It gives them a link to all the channels that the episodes are natively published on. Also gives them a list of recent episodes and a link to check out all the episodes. And then also your main lead magnet that you always reference back to. You want to have a content section, which is just, you know, a list of all your episodes so people can scroll through. You want to have your funnels, which are going to be landing pages to offer your lead magnets, where you can send people to get on, get those free resources and then go through their customer journey with you through your automated email sequences and all that kind of good stuff. And then on the actual episode pages, on the blog post with the episodes embedded, you want to embed the audio version, the video version if you have it, and then you want to have a couple different calls to action. Number one, subscribe to the show. Number two, your lead magnet. Number three, book a call or however it is that, like, you actually promote your products.
So much good information, so much good information to take and put into your website. And by the time you're done with it, it's going to be this amazing thing. So I'm excited to see what it all looks like.
Yep. And, you know, when you want to level up your show to be at this level, make sure you contact Eric and the guys at On Air Brands, onairbrands.com. They are the ones that produce this show. Obviously, they do a great job producing great shows for great businesses. So make sure you check them out. If you want to check out all of our other episodes, like we mentioned in today's episode, go to onairbrands.com/show, which is our show hub. So you can see a good example of it over there. And if there are people you know that should listen to this episode, please share it with them. That would be awesome. And until next week, we will catch you on the next episode.
You are now tuned in to the On Air Brands.